President's Press Conference at Little White House, U.S. Florida, 29 November 1951.
I'm going to read you a statement on a matter about which you're very much interested. I hope everyone understands now that there has been no ceasefire in Korea, and that there can be none until an armistice has been signed. It is our duty to continue our efforts until the United Nations objectives have been achieved. Get that now. It's our duty to continue our efforts until the United Nations objectives are achieved. Only then will the future safety of the United Nations forces, including those who are prisoners in the hands of the enemy, only then can their safety be assured. We cannot allow our men to be caught off balance by the enemy in case we cannot reach a satisfactory armistice agreement. The continued pressure of our forces on the enemy constitutes the strongest incentive for the latter to agree to a just armistice. Any premature slackening of our efforts would cost us more casualties in the long run than need be. Now, I want to give you a lecture on fake stories about ceasefires and armistices and things of that kind. I was marching down the road in France on October the 27th, 1918, with a battery, my battery. The other batteries in the regiment were strung out along the road, one behind the other. And here came a French paper with block headlines as big as the French can make them, saying that an armistice had been signed. And just as I read that headline, 150 shell bursted about 100 yards away from me on that side and another one on this side. And that story was put out by Roy Howard. It was a fake. This AP story that's been put out on ceasefire is parallel with it. It doesn't do the peace of the world one bit of good for things like that to be put out, and they should not be. You have a responsibility for the welfare of this country just the same as I have. And I'm talking to the press associations and the independent newspaper representatives who are here. Not you gentlemen individually, because I get along with you all right. But you must be careful in this very dangerous time to stick to the truth. Now, I understand that this story came out because of intense competition. Well, it seems to me that the welfare of the United States and of the United Nations and of the world is much more important than any competitive situation which may exist among news hounds. Now, go ahead with your question. Well, wait till it's transcribed, and then I'll give you the answer. I have to see what it looks like.
Mr. President, what was that date in 1918?
October the 27th, 1918. Okay. October 27th.
What kind of shell was that?
150 German shell on the side of it. Well, that's about 6 inch. That's about 6 inch shell. October 27th. It created a riot over here, and people had a terrible letdown when they found out about the show.
Yeah, I understand this is the direct quotation. Stop just before you start and talk about the story.
It stops with a sentence, any premature slackening of our efforts would cost us more casualties in the long run than needed.
It will be good with that.
That'll be the mini-grass where you have a topic of your question. And we look this other tape over, and if it's in proper shape, well, we'll let you have it. I think you do. I think folks will be able to agree with
you. Mr. President, just care to comment on the uncertainty about the Senate's attack. The Senate Committee on Monday. The different things to see in Ohio. There's a sinister conspiracy, blueprinted by a congressman directed to the White
House. There was no conspiracy that I know anything about. Of course, all the Democrats wanted a Democratic senator from Ohio. And I'll admit that I was very anxious to see a Democratic senator from Ohio, but we didn't succeed in getting one. I think the conspiracy probably was in the slush fund on the Republican side of the campaign.
President, have you been informed that the Senate's peace office, the people's commission to enter these names of the presidential primary in California?
I didn't know about that, but I saw where he was perfectly willing to let the lightning strike him if it comes that way. Everybody has a right to run for president who wants to.
Mr. President, are you planning to do anything about the Chief Counsel of the Internal Revenue Bureau, Ms. Oldfan, who has been brought into the court in case of 3653?
I have no facts to justify any action as yet. I wonder if we can't turn those lights off. Father,
Mr. President, Senator Nixon made a suggestion today that you guarantee the employees of the Internal Revenue Bureau freedom from any reprisal if they will report cases of wrongdoing, which he says they know about and haven't reported.
That isn't true. They've always had immunity on that subject. Whenever a man knows of any malfeasance in office and doesn't report it, he's a party except a criminal in connection with it. As long as he's a party to the crime, if that's what he said.
He knows he's not going to do it.
Yes, sir. Sure. Of course, I don't like it. I don't know whether it's true or not. I haven't had it officially reported yet. I think that question is rather loaded. I think the very best effort is being put forth to meet the defense requirements. If it isn't, I'll soon find out about it and we'll do something about it. I've had experience along that line, as you know. Whatever's necessary in that line will be done. It's being surveyed all the time. It's in constant condition of being looked into by the National Security Council, by Mr. Wilson, and by the Cabinet.
Mr. President, were you advised of the death of
Senator Curry? Yes, and I was very sorry to hear it. Curry and I were good personal friends. We had a lot of political dogfights, but personally, he and I were always very friendly. I sent a telegram of sympathy to his wife today. Immediately, as soon as I heard. That's a hypothetical question. It starts with if and ends with prospective something that's not happened yet. When the time comes, I'll answer it. Don't step on you, but then you can't answer a question like that.
Mr. Oliphant, you said that you have no facts to justify any such action as yet. Does that mean that you are asking
Whenever the facts come to me that justify action, I'll take the action as I always do. But you can't convict a man until you have the evidence. That's been the policy of some of our committees in the Congress, and I don't want to follow that policy.
Mr. President, do you expect other dismissals and fines in this inquiry?
I'm making no anticipatory remarks on that, Tony. Let's let this other question down here. It's hypothetical.
Mr. President, a question in which we all have quite a personal interest. When are we going home?
Well, sir, I don't care. The longer we stay, the better I'll be pleased. As soon as I know the answer, I'll give it to you, Smitty. I'll have a lot of trouble when I get back in Washington. I do an immense amount of work down here without interruption. That's not possible in the White House. I expect it. That's another hypothetical question which I'll answer. I expect to spend it in Independence, Missouri.
President, have you ever received a letter from the mayor of Ithaca, New York, who wanted a $1 million government loan to raise city and all your salaries and things?
Never heard of it.
He put out a copy of it.
I never heard of it. Didn't reach me. Joe says it's just a publicity stunt. I guess that's right.
Well, Mr. President, have we overlooked anything?
I can't remember of anything you've overlooked. Seems to me you've covered the waterfront pretty thoroughly.
Thank you very much.